Welcome back. We're continuing with our study on working with staff and leaders as part of our course, Developing Great Commission Skills. Now, the particular skill topic that we're going to be looking at today is the skill topic of ministry clarity. Ministry clarity. Now, here's the problem. The emphasis on ministry by programs often leads to programming silos in a church. Programming silos in a church. Now, what are we talking about with ministry silos? We're talking about the fact that all the ministries of the church might be operating independently of each other. What they're doing might be wholesome, might be good, might be beneficial, but they're not unified. They're not pulling toward a central, common unifying core mission. And of course, the way that we're approaching this is that mission is going to be centered on the Great Commission. So we want every ministry in alignment with that, and that's going to require ministry clarity. So what's the solution? Well, two dynamics will need to be present. First of all, the all church, or the whole congregational ministry, must have unmistakable ministry clarity, such that all ministries within the church are clear on their mission priority. Now, taking that a step further, the ministry clarity of all church ministry must be centered on the Great Commission, such that all ministries within the church are clear on the fact that their mission priority is the Great Commission. Now, that has to be there for a church to become truly a Great Commission church, you know, focused on expanding the church, expanding the kingdom, growing the kingdom, maturing people as we go and we make disciples. So let's take a look at a principle. Great Commission ministry clarity is a critical element of working with staff and leaders effectively. You see, as we focus our attention on working with staff and leaders, if we want our all church ministry, our congregation-wide ministry, to be focused on the Great Commission, then that, of course, has to be an element of how we work with staff and leaders. All staff, all leaders, all ministry, all everything within the church has to be crystal clear on the fact that our central priority is the Great Commission. That will give us ministry clarity. Now, there is a book out there that I use quite a bit in this regard, establishing ministry clarity. The book is called Simple Church: Returning to God's Process for Making Disciples. Sound familiar? There are four elements that are emphasized in this book, and those elements are clarity, movement, alignment, and focus. So take a look at this particular quote from that book. To have a simple church, you must design a simple discipleship process. This process must be clear. It must move people toward maturity. It must be fully integrated into your church, and you must get rid of the clutter around it. Bingo. So let's take a look at these four elements that are emphasized in the simple church discipleship process. The four elements. Now, clarity is described as starting with a ministry blueprint. In other words, there is a plan of ministry, and that plan is to be shared by everyone in the church, all staff, all leaders, all ministry areas. A ministry blueprint, and that blueprint is centered on Great Commission ministry. Movement is about removing congestion. There are no bottlenecks in the progression of how people move through ministry. The movement through ministry is smooth. I want you to think back to those levels of commitment, for example, the way that people move from lower levels of commitment to higher levels of commitment is smooth without interruption. People are moving, ministries are moving, and everyone is pulling in the same direction. You might think of this, I have one analogy that I use quite a bit in this regard, the idea of the Viking ship, where you had up to 72 people that were manning the oars. Now imagine that these 72 people were not pulling in the same direction or at the same time, the same pace, the same consistency. But when you get all of the oars in the water, all pulling in the same direction at the same time, then the ship moves quickly toward its destination. That's what we're talking about with having clarity, having a ministry blueprint, and then removing congestion. Movement is moving congestion so that there are no blockages. Alignment has to do with maximizing the energy of everyone. And everyone is contributing to that core mission, that core priority, which is the Great Commission. And we have focus described as saying no to almost everything. Now, my experience has been that in the church, our tendency is to try to say yes to everything. We try to think of all ministries as being equal. All people in the church, whatever emphasis they might favor, we want to say yes to that. Well, that's a kind sentiment and an inclusive sentiment, but it's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for confused ministry. It's a recipe for splitting resources up to such a degree that we don't have enough resources concentrated in the priority area of the church. So, clarity, movement, alignment, focus. Now, I want to move deeper into this idea of alignment for a moment, because alignment is something that is central to the revitalization process that we have developed at the GO Center. That depends heavily on alignment. So let me walk you through that. It's very complementary to what Tom Rainer and Eric Geiger have done with Simple Church. When we look at the five alignment tracks for church vitality, here's what we see. We start off with aligning Great Commission perception. Now, the idea here is that we're making sure that pastors and church leaders, in terms of their perception of themselves, that they have an accurate perception of themselves. My observation is that many times pastors and leaders of a given church don't really have an accurate perception of who they are, how healthy they are. They tend to think of themselves perhaps as a church they used to be, back in whatever was the prime time of the church. They're not facing the reality of where they are right now. Now, aligning perception answers the question, where are we really? We look into the proverbial mirror and see ourselves as we really are and make an accurate assessment. My experience tells me that most pastors, most church leaders, perceive their churches to be somewhat more healthy than they actually are. So we're trying to bring that perception in alignment with reality. Secondly, there is alignment with the Great Commission vision. The question here is, where do we want to be? Now, we've talked quite a bit in that very first skill about discerning and developing vision. So remember, vision is not created. It's discerned. And when we discern God's vision for His church, one of the key elements of that vision is the Great Commission. God has a vision of a church that goes and makes disciples, that baptizes, that teaches obedience. So we want to make sure that our vision for ourselves is in alignment with God's vision for us. Now understand that when we take a look at these first two tracks, where are we, where do we want to be, that typically identifies a gap. There's usually a gap in between where we are and where we want to be. And we're going to need to close that gap. So that's where we first move to strategy, aligning Great Commission strategy. We're asking the question, well, how do we get there? How do we close that gap? How do we move from where we are to where we want to be? Well, we develop our strategy, a Great Commission strategy for how we're going to go and make disciples and baptize and teach obedience, growing people in their faith. Now we move into aligning Great Commission structure. This has to do with leadership. You know, how are leaders going to lead us from where we are to where we want to be? We've identified a strategy, but if we don't implement that strategy, we cannot move. So how are we going to lead? Who will get us there? Our leaders will get us there, provided they lead us according to a Great Commission strategy that has been designed to move us from where we are to where we want to be. And then finally, there's the aligning Great Commission people. Who will keep us there? Now, you might need to really zoom in to think about this for a moment. Leaders, by virtue of their leadership, have the capacity to get us to where we want to be, as long as they are faithful to the Great Commission strategy. But how do we sustain that? Once we get there, who's going to keep us there? How is that going to be sustainable over time? Well, there are two bodies of people that we have in view here. The first group I'm going to refer to as insiders. These are the folks that are with the church at the beginning of this new vision venture. Well, vision will be cast, desiring to build ownership with that vision. And there's going to be buy-in that comes from our insiders, and they're going to begin to commit themselves, theorists, realists, pragmatists, they're going to be committing themselves to this Great Commission work of building the Great Commission vision that reaches people and grows them in their faith. They have to be on board for us to stay there. Remember, without the people, the vision will perish. But also, if we truly stay faithful to our Great Commission vision, we're going to be investing more and more of our time and energy into reaching into the harvest and bringing lost people into the kingdom, into relationship with Jesus, into the church. And the church is going to expand. Well, we have to make sure that we align these newcomers with the new vision so that they're not just the outcome or the product, if you will, of that new vision. They become, as they grow in their faith, they become participants. And the very people that we reached through our vision are now working with us. They're part of us in reaching someone else. So that's how we put this together. That's how it works. Now, in this book, Simple Church, when you get to chapter 5, that whole chapter is devoted to clarity, starting with a ministry blueprint. And so I encourage you to take a look at that if you have the opportunity to do so. Well, I want to move now back into Giant Worldwide, their approach to leadership development. They have some material that focuses on this idea of organizational clarity. In our case, ministry clarity, because we are a ministry organization. So how do they do that? Well, we have a diagram that gives us the pathway that they recommend. And of course, there's a lot of overlap between this diagram and the things that we've seen with Simple Church, the things that we've seen with the GO Center's five alignment tracks for church vitality. Starting with vision and mission. And the questions here are, is our vision clear? And is our vision, our mission, compelling? Do people understand what it is? And is it positioned in such a way that they might be able to own that vision and be drawn in? Then there's values. We haven't spoken much of values. But the question here is, do people know and live the values of our church? Well, values and vision are very closely related. One, in a sense, feeds the other. You might look at it this way. Our vision tends to be a reflection of our values. If we value, for example, commitment to reaching people with the gospel, that's going to contribute to our vision of being a Great Commission church. And if we have a vision of being a Great Commission church, that's going to fuel our value of seeing lost people come to Christ and then subsequently grow in their faith. Then we come to leadership. Are the roles and responsibilities clear at every level of leadership? You know, this has to do with, you know, aligning structure. Is the leadership in place? Are they clear on what they are to do? Their roles, responsibilities, clear at every level. At the next level, we have two things. We have strategy, we have structure. Strategy is asking the question, how do we win? In other words, what does effectiveness look like? What is it that we're aiming at? What are the outcomes that we want to see, that we should see, if we follow this very consistent Great Commission path? And our structure, do we have the right people, the right systems in terms of our leadership in place? And with the giant diagram, they include the idea of capital. Do we have the right capital in place? Well, in the church, we don't really talk that much about capital, but we do talk about finances and how finances are being distributed. Are they being distributed in a way that is consistent with our Great Commission vision and values and strategy? Are we putting our resources behind our vision, behind our values, behind our strategy? And taking a step deeper from strategy, the big picture of what we're going to do, what about our tactics? Those people that are going to actually be the boots on the ground that are moving our ministry forward, do they know what to do? Are they tactically trained and deployed to execute the strategies that we have designed in order to fulfill our vision, our mission, in a way that truly reflects our values? Now, when all of these things are in place organizationally, in the center, there are certain attributes that will emerge. One of them is that our ministry will be simple, Simple Church. Our ministry will be scalable in that it can expand upward. Our capacity to minister can expand, and it will be sustainable. Remember that question, who will keep us there? Well, the assimilation of insiders and newcomers led by leaders who are attending to the strategy that fulfills the values and the vision and the mission. That's how this organizational diagram works, and I think that it provides a helpful guide for moving forward. Well, speaking of moving forward, I'd like to take a look at another model that will help us in the area of execution, an area of implementation, of application. There is a book out called The Four Disciplines of Execution. Four Disciplines of Execution. And the formula is 4DX. Four Disciplines of Execution. 4DX. It's referred to as the 4DX model. Now, this book is written by three gentlemen by the name of McChesney, Covey, and Hewling. Now, this Covey is the son of Stephen Covey, who gave us the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, they describe outcomes of execution, of implementation, as lag measures. And they describe the elements that lead to lag measures as lead measures. So let me explain how that works for a moment. The lag measure is the result of what the lead measures produce. So let me give you an example of that. Let's say that there's a particular church that has an objective of expanding its small group ministry from 5 small groups to 12 small groups. Well, the having 12 small groups with the 4DX model would be described as a lag measure. And very often what happens is once a target such as this is identified, that becomes the focus. And so when leaders are talking about their ministry objectives, they'll say something like, 12 small groups at such and such a date. And their focus is on that group. Here's the problem. Focusing on that target will not cause that target to be hit. Hitting that target will be the result of other actions that are taken. Okay, so for example, in order to go from 5 small groups to 7 small groups, one thing that we'll need to do is recruit 7 additional small group leaders. So under that lag measure of 12 small groups, we might list a different kind of objective. Recruit 7 small group leaders. Now, in the language of 4DX, recruiting 7 additional leaders is a lead measure that will lead us to having 12 small groups. The 5 that we already have, the 7 new groups added together is 12 groups. So the emphasis in terms of execution, in terms of implementation, the emphasis is on the lead measure. We need to concentrate our focus on recruiting 7 leaders, because that is an action that once it's taken, it's going to contribute to the lag measure, the measure that lags behind the lead measure of reaching our target. So I really appreciate the 4DX model, because I do believe that our tendency in the church is to focus on measures that are in fact lag measures. Well, lag measures are outcomes. They're not causative. They're not catalytic. They don't make things happen. They're simply targets that we're shooting for. It's the lead measures that create progress. So that distinction, I think, can be very helpful in crafting how we move forward. Okay, so where are we? I want to take a look then at some lead measures that might lead us to creating ministry clarity. See, we might think of ministry clarity as a lag measure. We want to reach the place where we have ministry clarity. Well, how can we do that? Well, capitalizing on the giant organizational clarity model, some of our lead measures might look like this. Discerning a clear and compelling Great Commission vision or mission. Building Great Commission values into your staff, your leaders, your congregation. Defining strategy through the lens of what a Great Commission win looks like. Creating a Great Commission structure that puts the right people and systems and resources in place. Training everyone in executing his or her Great Commission tactical roles with effectiveness. So if you follow through on the slide there in front of you, you see we're tracking with that organizational clarity diagram from Giant, from vision to values to strategy to structure, all the way into tactical execution. That's, we're connecting a lot of dots here. And I hope that you realize how strategically important this element is. And of course, it ties in to working with staff and leaders, because staff and leaders are going to be the primary people who are leading this charge, the ones who are getting us from where we are to where we want to be. Now, these lead measures are going to lead to your lag measures that are listed there in the center of that organizational clarity diagram. The ministry will be simple, similar to the Rainer-Geiger approach of simple church. The ministry will be scalable, easy to expand as we increase our cadre of leaders and have greater capacity to minister to more people. And then finally, it's going to be sustainable, because more and more of our congregation, our insiders, are on board. More and more of our newcomers are fully on board. We have a vision, and we have the people to back up that vision. Now, one final thing we're going to take a look at here. We're going to take a look at another diagram from Giant Worldwide. This one has to do with creating a healthy culture. How do you create a healthy culture? Well, they talk a lot about vocabulary that is expressed in visual tools that creates a leadership language that impacts a leadership culture. Now, this idea of vocabulary and visual tools are very important. These are the things that help to reinforce all of these different concepts that we have been talking about. The formula looks like this: vocabulary plus visual tools equals leadership language. And that language would help to establish or mature into a leadership culture. Very, very important indeed. Now, as I have worked over the years in revitalization, we have developed a certain vocabulary. One of the things that we talk about is the life cycle of a church. Now, if you can imagine a typical bell curve, in very simplistic terms, the upside of the church life cycle we refer to as incline. It's that season of life cycle when things are expanding and growing. Then when we top off across the top of the life cycle, we refer to that as recline. The church has entered into plateau. It's in a maintenance mode. It's just trying to hold on to what it has. And then, of course, down the backside of the life cycle, we refer to that as decline. So we have incline, we have recline, we have decline. Now, that's just one example of a lot of vocabulary that we have poured into our model. But whenever we begin working with a church, You know, we're using that language over and over and over again until it starts to become the vocabulary, the lexicon of revitalization. And I've had so many pastors and leaders over the years remark to me that we had given them a language by which they could talk about these issues. In fact, I remember very vividly speaking with a church leader once, and this person was telling me that they were having a discussion about a certain ministry item, and a certain suggestion had come up that sounded good at the time. But then someone made this remark. They said, well, we realized that as much as we liked that idea, it really was reclining behavior. You see, in that case, the vocabulary of incline, recline, decline had become so embedded in the thinking of those church leaders that they were actually using it in general conversation. That's when you know that things are really sinking in. Now, why is culture so important? Why is culture so important? Well, let me share a couple of phrases with you. One is this: culture trumps strategy. And in a bit more colorful language, I've seen this phrase in multiple places. It says, culture eats strategy for lunch. And some sources attribute that particular phrase to business guru Peter Drucker. Well, what are we saying here? Culture trumps strategy. Culture eats strategy for lunch. All right, here's the thing. If all you have going for you is your strategy, you've made some adjustments in your strategy, you're pushing toward Great Commission effectiveness, but you run into a problem, something becomes uncomfortable, something doesn't look quite like you thought it might. The congregation is seeing that, wait a minute, I'm concerned about this. Maybe there's a person or family in the church that has gotten upset. Maybe someone has been offended for some reason. Here's what tends to happen. Whatever the prevailing culture is, will surface. Now, if that culture is the culture that existed prior to making this commitment to a Great Commission vision and strategy, then the strategy is going to dissolve. And the dominance of culture is going to essentially consume this new endeavor, this new movement. In other words, in order for the new movement, the new vision, to be sustainable, there has to be a new culture that champions the new vision. So that when those negative issues surface, when those barriers are crashed into, when those problems raise up, the culture of Great Commission ministry is able to stay the course. Culture becomes an ally to the vision rather than an adversary. Now, here's the thing. When strategy and culture become adversarial, culture wins. So if your culture is the culture that used to be, the new strategy will disappear. If culture has become a new culture that is Great Commission centered, that culture will be able to uphold the new strategy, and we're able to stay the course. Change in strategy alone is not sufficient. There must be a change in culture. Now, that wraps up our discussion of ministry clarity. We are now turning our thoughts to our next session. And when we get together next time, we're still going to be talking about clarity, but the issue won't be ministry clarity. It will be role clarity. So that will be our skill topic for next time as we continue to consider working with staff and leaders. Now, I pray that God will be with you as you continue to study, as you continue to serve, as you continue to envision where Great Commission Ministry might take you. In the name of Jesus.